Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, our children are gone. Our children are gone. Our families are falling apart. Our falling apart. We as a nation have told to say.
Oh Lord, forgive us. Forgive us. Heal our land.
I hope everyone is doing well. This is your host, Pastor Leona Ross of If My People. Yeah, it's been a while. I haven't been here in a while, but we are back now. So, today's topic is, why are they afraid? Why are thou afraid? See, we got this corona pandemic going on and everybody's running in fear. But if we are people of God, if we are believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, then the scripture tells us there is no need to fear. Where are your thoughts? What are you thinking about? Are your thoughts on high? Are you consistently thinking about the things that are going on in this world? But the Bible clearly tells us that we are not of this world. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. So these are some of the topics we'll be talking about. But right now, I'm going to give you a little short music interlude. Fred Hammond, Keeping My Mind. Listen up.
Thank you. power that ain't to me. For I keep your word deep within. So what the day holds for me will make me run and hide. As long as you are my guide.
Talking about why art thou fearful? Why art thou afraid? When we know that God has promised us, he has promised us abundant life. But when things come up, we have the media, we have all these people around us telling us opposite of what thus saith the Lord. In Psalms 91, he has promised us that neither shall any plague come nigh our dwelling. Well, what is your dwelling? It's more than just your house. It's your body. It's who you are. Remember, you are the temple of God. So then, saints of God, why is it that we act as the world does when things like this happen, rather than getting in God's face, trusting God to keep his promises to us? His word says his promises are yes and amen to the glory of God in us. Let me say that again. His promises are yes and amen to the glory of God in us. How do we know that his promises have manifested if they don't show up in us? The question, huh? We are his witnesses. And that scripture can be found at 2 Corinthians 1 and 20, if anybody wants to know where I got that scripture from. So you can go study, read it for yourself. To see exactly what the word of God is saying. See? It says, for all of the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Some versions say unto the glory of God by us. Same difference. Same thing. Same thing. So we need not to be worried. We need not to be afraid. What did he tell Joshua? He said, did not I tell you? Have not I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. We always say God is omnipotent. We always say God is with us. We talk about how blessed we are. But then when situations and circumstances occur in our life, act like we believe the very words that we speak. Why is that? See, we have a confession with no possession. We're just saying it because it sounds good. And the more we think on these things, the more we look at the clips on TV, and the more we listen to the YouTube videos that our friends send us through Messenger and everything else. Oh, this many people died. Oh, this many people contracted it. And they say you can get it this way. And they say you can get it that way. All very true. I'm not neglecting the fact that this is a serious epidemic. I'm not neglecting that fact. Do what you need to do to keep yourself safe. Do what you need to do to not expose yourself. However, what I'm talking about is your mental ability, how your feelings and this spirit of fear that causes you to be afraid. We have no business being afraid. See? 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The one thing about fear is that when we are afraid, we don't think straight. Our imaginations start running wild. We get caught up in things that we wouldn't normally have been caught up in if we had not allowed the spirit of fear to encamp us. Classic example. Who needs 36 packs of tissue paper? I'm not talking about the 36 roll pack, but I'm talking about the 36 multiple pack. You go to the grocery store, you clear them all out as if it's a never-ending saga. Hand sanitizer, y'all look at the store. Y'all see that the store is empty. I'm not saying that you don't need these things, but do you need that quantity just for you, yourself, and you? That's the question. Those reactions are motivated by fear. See? Those actions are motivated by fear. See? That's when you have let your imagination just totally run wild. You've let the spirit of fear encamp you, and you're not thinking reasonably. In other words, you're not thinking with a sound mind. Because a sound mind would tell you, hey, I don't really need all this, but I can get some for somebody else. You know, it very well may my neighbor, you know, very well may need a few of toilet paper to help them get through. I don't need a garage full. I don't need water bottle packs, 24, 36 packs of water bottles stacked to the ceiling of my garage, and it's just me. Let me see, can I help somebody else out? Sound mind. You begin hoarding stuff. Stuff that, and you don't even see that this isn't forever. It's going to end. And you know what, people of God? May not even be affected. It says, Psalm 91 says, it shall not come nigh thy dwelling. If we do all that we can do, trust God, believe his word, that which he has said, and expect. What are your expectations? If you're running in fear, then guess what? You're expecting to be infected. You're expecting to be sick. You're expecting death to come nigh your dwelling. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is what? So is he. Stop calling unnecessary calamity to yourself and to your household because you are afraid of what they say. This word does not, you know, let me just serve notice on the enemy. This word is not coming forth to discourage you or to frighten you or to make you feel any negative way. What I want you to understand, the whole purpose of this word today is to understand the God that we serve, if indeed you serve him. If indeed you are a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no need for us to be afraid. There's no need for us to be running helter-skelter. Yeah, they closed down the workplaces. Yes, we got to work from home. Some of you wish you could work from home. You hate your commute. You hate running back and forth, up and down the road to a place of employment, getting up an hour early because the drive is so long or the traffic is so bad. Now you can go to your workstation, from your bedroom to your workstation, have a seat and begin, log on, begin work. Send your email. Respond to those things that need to be responded to. Take care of the things that you need to do and not be bothered by that noisome coworker that you talk about and get on your nerve every day. Come on, y'all, let's just be honest. You got to recognize the blessings in the thing that even in when the whole world is in calamity, God is still working it out for you. He's working it out for your favor. Are we seeing it that way? We got to learn to see the blessings in the midst of the storm, in the midst of calamity, in the midst of the circumstances. We've got to learn to see the blessings that God has bestowed upon us in the midst of all this. See? We got to know that. Because as I say in Psalms 91, that we dwell in the place of the Most High. We shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He is our refuge and our fortress. My God. See, we make it personal. My God, in him will I trust. That's the question. Are you trusting him? Are you trusting him? Or is your imagination running wild with all the reports? Verse 3 says, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Let me say that again. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. See? So then, why are we afraid? What are we afraid of? Why are we running in fear? I want to welcome my guests, 850-2381 and 1557. Thank you so much for calling in. Thank you for joining us, If My People. I hope you enjoyed the show thus far. We are talking about why art thou afraid? This is If My People. Our call-in number is 516-531-9550. You can reach us there. Or if you just want to chat with us, you can come into the chat room. Just log on at blogtalkradio.com/RRL345. And you'll be able to log in, chat with us there. Now you have to sign in. If you want to comment, but if you just want to listen, you don't have to sign in as a guest or otherwise. You can just listen. Now, we were just at Psalms 91, and we're talking about verse 3, where it says, he will protect us. He will deliver us from the snare of the fowler and the noisome pestilence. He shall cover us with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be our shield and buckler. See? It's that trust thing. Do we trust God or are we leaning to our own understanding? Are we trying to get through this by what everything that they say and not putting any trust in God? Because after all of that is done, after you bought all the masks, after you bought all the toilet paper, after you bought all the hand sanitizer that you can possibly fit into your home, at the end of the day, if you don't trust God, if you don't believe him, you've done all of that in vain. You've done all of that in vain. Because it's just something that those are the physical precautions. What about the spiritual precautions? What about the living after this? Because if you're anxious and paranoid now, when they say that all this is over, guess what? You're not going to believe that all this is over. You're still not going to want to leave your house. You still want to be 6-7 feet away from people, social distancing. Because you're not going to really believe that. Is it really over? No, you got to you ready to run. You're not going to feel comfortable returning to work because they say you can return to work. Because why? Because now you have let the spirit of fear encamp you. And any spirit, as we know, don't come alone by itself. So now you're paranoid. See, you're anxious about everything around you. You're suspicious. You're looking at everybody. See, your imagination. See, your imagination. See, you let your imagination just run all over the place. See, it says that we have to, 2 Corinthians 10:5 says that we have to demolish arguments and every pretension, that every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, that we must every thought to make it obedient to the will of God, to make it obedient to Christ. What did he say? He said, we shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. He said, by his stripes, what? We are healed. But are we taking the time out to really get into his word so we can gird up our loins, see, and be able to fight the good fight? Are we truly going into Ephesians and understanding what spiritual warfare is? See, are we going there and suiting ourselves with the full armor of God? Understanding that it's a spiritual armor. See, in Ephesians 6. 11 through 18. And verse 12 clearly tells us that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. All of these things that we are doing for this virus and for this pandemic are fleshly. But we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So therefore, we have to take unto the whole armor of God that we may be able to withstand in the evil day. And then having done all, after we've done all that we can possibly do, we're about the hand sanitizer, we're washing our hands, we're changing our clothes once we come in from the outside, washing our bodies, we're keeping clean, we're doing all that we can possibly do. It said, having done all to stand, then just stand. What are you standing on? You're standing on the truth. You're standing on the word of God. Because verse 14, and we're talking about Ephesians 6, verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. You're standing on truth and righteousness, which is the word of God. What did he say? What did he tell you? See? Didn't he tell you in Psalms 91? That no plague shall come nigh thy dwelling. You will only look and see. In verse 10 and 11. Because you have made the Lord your what? Your refuge. He is your hiding place. So why let your imagination take you in places that God never meant for you to be? Because you've got to live after this. After all of this is over, we still got to live. Things got to get back to normal. You got to go. Because there's going to come a time and say, well, this is over. This is done. There's no need for social distancing anymore. However, if you've already got it in your mind that, oh, no, people can't touch me. Oh, no. Then guess what? That spirit of fear has encamped you, and you need to be delivered. And this is how you get delivered from those things, from allowing that spirit to rest in you. And these are the things that we were told recently. Apostle, he said, you know, it's everything is in the word of God, because again, we were created in his image, and the answers for our life is always going to be found in him. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. As my grandma used to tell me, keep living, you will see. We got people running around talking about it's the end of the world. No, the end is not yet. The Bible says no man knows the day nor the hour. How many times have we been told, oh, the world is ending and we're still here? How many times has this been prophesied that this is the day, this is the time, the world is going to end? How many people have been deceived into taking their own lives because they thought that the world was ending, because this is what their leader told them? And yet and still, we're still here. So whose report shall you believe? See, we do things out of fear that we would not normally do. But if we just take at least 15 to 20 minutes a day just to focus on God and pray and read his scripture, we are rooted and grounded in him. The song said, I'm keeping my mind on Jesus. We got to practice controlling our thoughts and not allow our mind to wander on things that cause us to lose focus. That's what it means by cast down every high imagination. What are you thinking about? If you're constantly thinking about this thing, guess what? That's what you're drawing to you. See, that is what you are drawing to you. See? Find something in God, in ministry, something that is going to edify, bring joy to his people, and work on it. Something that is going to be pleasing to God, and work on it. Concentrate on that. What is your ministry? What has God called you to do? And don't sit all day in front of your laptop or in front of the TV constantly watching reports on how many died here, or researching information to see where it is here and what's happening over there and how many people in Italy. And no, let's not do that. Get up, move around, run around. Exercise your body so it can be, so your mind can be detoxed. Stay away from those vain conversations and guard your spirit. How do you do that? Focusing on the word of God. What has God spoken over your life? What has he told you about you? See? Don't be lulled into arguments and vain conversations. Why? Because it takes your mind off of the things of God, those things that he has purposed and promised for your life. These are things we all can do. You don't need a partner. You don't need a friend. If you're home by yourself, you're not isolated in your home, these are the things that you can do so that you can have a sound mind, a sound mind. See, reasonable. Knowing that which is truth and walking in it, not shunning away from it because, oh no, we're going to die. The whole world coming to an end. Who said that? Regardless of what anybody else says, regardless of what anybody else does, at the end of the day, the only thing that matters is what God has spoken about you. That which God has spoken over you. And you got to know that everything is working together for the good of them that love the Lord. Do you love him? Better yet, do you trust him? Are you trusting him in these times? Oh, and it's not going to be the last time. There'll be other things coming up. Just think to yourself. Just take a minute and think to yourself. You know, what other calamities have come up in my life? that I thought I was going to not make it through? What other calamities have come up in my life that I didn't think I was going to make it, that I didn't think that I was going to be here? And here I am. I'm still here. Now, my question to you is, if he brought you through that, what makes you think he won't bring you through this? Do you trust him? Do you believe his word? Or are we so great that we have X'd God out of the equation only to believe that we ourselves are God? That whatever we accomplish, that whatever has happened in our life, it is because of us. We did it. We persevered. We made it through. All the glory goes to me. God forbid. God forbid. If you did it all, if you did it all, why is it then when calamity comes? When a problem comes in our life that's too overwhelming, a situation or a circumstance, we're asking for prayer. We're asking for people to pray for us. But we did it. We only need us. We're deceiving ourselves until calamity comes. Until our back is up against the wall and we got a praying mother or a praying grandmother or a praying friend. And we're sending out notifications all over Facebook, Twitter, and everybody else. Hey, this is what's going on, y'all. Please pray for me. What about your prayer? I thought you did it. I thought all you needed was you. See, we deceive ourselves thinking that we're so great when we want to X God out of the equation. And it's like we put him up on the shelf and we only take him down when we think that we need it. When we think that, okay, God, I need you for this situation. Let me call the prayer warrior. Well, what about your own personal relationship with God? Remember, God walked with Adam in the cool of the day. It was a personal relationship. It was one-on-one. And don't let nobody fool you and think that you got to be in a certain place or a certain way to talk to God. All you got to do is open up your mouth and let him know your heart. What are you feeling? What are you thinking? Those deep hidden things that you can't tell anybody or anyone. You can tell God. He already knows. He's just waiting on you to give him permission to work out that situation in you. He's not going to take anything from you. You've got to be willing to give it up. You've got to be willing to give up the spirit of fear. Just decide that you're not going to be afraid anymore. That regardless of what they say, I know that all things are working together for the good of them that love the Lord. God, you're going to work it out for me. This is what you have said concerning me. Am I not your child? People literally want to get lamb's blood and put it over their door. Why? When the blood of Jesus is all you need. He shed his blood for all. Once and one time and for all time. Remember back in the day, those mothers sitting on the front row, oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus, oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow. Yeah, they knew it. They knew it. And they go on and they say, there is power, power, wonder-working power, it's in the blood of the Lamb. Did we forget that? Once and for all, nobody talks about power in the blood of Jesus anymore. If it had power then to bring us through then what say you now? Isn't he the same God? Isn't he the same Lord? Can he not do the same things now as he did back then? What has changed? We said about going about putting prayer, putting God out of everything, leaning to our own understanding, becoming lovers of ourselves rather than lovers of God. St. Timothy, that's what it said. See, rejecting sound doctrine. And you wonder why your mind's in a bad place. You wonder why your mind and your thoughts are helter-skelter. They're everywhere. Wondering if this is the truth, if that is the truth, rather than looking at the thing that has been proven in your life. Running after things that are temporary rather than the things that are eternal. Because if you've ever been healed, when the doctor said that you were going to die, if you've ever been saved from a situation or a circumstance where you know you were supposed to die, no, you weren't supposed to be here. And you look at other people in that same situation, and guess what? They didn't make it. Oh, bless God. Thank God, because he had his hand on you. He said, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. What is it? You ought to be asking God, God, what is it about me that yet I still live? And I see others around me, Lord, they're not here. What is my relationship? What is so important about me that you keep me here? What is it that you have called me to do? And not think that it's just you that's keeping you here. There's no great thing that you have done. Sorry, buddy. Sorry about your luck. No, there's no great thing that you have done that keeps you here. Only by the grace of God. What is your purpose? Why are you still here? Why did you come through all this calamity unscathed? And did you give God the praise? No, I'm sorry. You are not God. The Bible doesn't say that you are God. They said that there is one God. It said, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Thou shalt have no other God before me. And although we are made in his image, I'm sorry, we are not. We can't claim that title. Lucifer tried to claim that title. And he got cast out. Because he was saying, hey, I will go do this. And I will ascend my throne above his throne. And I'll be like God. No, you won't. There's only one God. The creator of all things. The giver of all great things. But do we acknowledge him in that? Do we thank him in whatever circumstance we find ourselves in? Is he just a convenience when we need to take him off the shelf? No, it should be a daily thing. We're still talking about why art thou afraid here today with If My People Blog Talk Radio. This is Pastor Ross. If you want to tune in, we can be reached at 516-531-9550. If you want to comment, you're going to also join us in the chat room if you would just like to listen. And that is blogtalkradio.com/RRL345. Right now, we're going to take a little station break. We're going to listen to another Fred Hammond. All things are working for me. Take a listen and we'll be right back to continue the conversation.
And tearing at the seams, You say you just can't win.
We can go, but at the end of the day, it's up to you to choose what you believe. Is that at the end of the day, it's up to choose how you want to live. Do you want to continue living in fear, or do you want to live with the authority that God has given you? Snatching your mind back, thinking on the things, as it said in Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. To be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And this is the thing. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart. It'll keep your heart so you faint not. And it'll keep your mind so that you will not allow the spirit of fear to come in and have you thinking all types of crazy thoughts. It said it shall keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. This is Paul speaking, talking to the church, telling, finally, my brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. See? The answers are here. But are we searching for them? Are we still going down the line on the internet, watching the TV shows, looking to the media for the answers, when God's word has already given us our answers for times such as these? So there's no reason to be afraid. There is no reason to be afraid. He said, for I have commanded you to be strong and of good courage. You have no reason. God has commanded us. And if he's commanded us, that means that he's there with us. He's gone already before us to show us the way. The scripture says, he, if you acknowledge me, see, I will show you the path. He's going to show us the path of righteousness that we need to walk so that we do not stumble. We don't allow anything unlike God to cause us to fear, to cause us not to believe, to cause us to doubt that indeed God is going to come through for us. Whatever his plan is for our life, whatever it may be, whatever it may be. Now, some, I want to debunk this myth here, because they said it in New Orleans, and it was even some clergy that were saying it, and I don't know how they get to say it because they're not God. But when Katrina came to New Orleans, they were saying, oh, it was because of the sin. Oh, it was because of that Mardi Gras festival they have every year and their promiscuity. But that's everywhere. So why wasn't all of the U.S. flooded? If that was their lot, calling it the Sodom and Gomorrah of the time. We had evangelists on TV talking about, oh, it was because they sinned. It was because of this. It was because of that. Really? Really? Again, I say, Who made you God? The Bible said, judge not, lest what? Lest you be judged. You don't know. Did God come down off his throne, sit on your couch, and personally tell you, this is why this is happening? When the Bible clearly says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But you want to judge folks. You want to tell them, this is why this is happening to you. Remember, the Bible also says, before you try to take the speck out of your brother's eye, you need to take the remove the mote from your own eye. In other words, you can't see nobody else until you see yourself. It's funny how we always want to cast blame on those that have less than us, those that don't seem like us, or don't act like us, or don't believe like us, because we think we got all the answers and we think that we know it all. We hear from God. Oh, yes, we're hearing from God. I heard the Lord say. And how many times have you heard somebody say they heard the Lord say and time went on and what they said never came about? They said just totally was not true. The Bible said, do not be deceived. See? But in the last day, you have to understand it. You have to understand it. We know that false prophets are coming about. It says that in Matthew. But what I wanted to point to was in Galatians. Because it says, do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. Galatians 6, 7 through 10. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. But he who sows to his flesh will of his flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. See? Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are in the household of faith. Talk about the saints. Don't be deceived because you're deceiving yourself because you think you know everything. You don't. You don't. You don't. As I say, God is not marked. So whatever you're sowing to, if you're just sowing to your flesh, just saying stuff to get people to give to you or to get people to admonish you, and you know you have not prayed, you have not sought God's face, God didn't speak those lies to you. You yourself are deceived. Because how can you call yourself a man or woman of God and you disregard? See, and the Bible says the greatest of these is what? Is love. Is that showing love? When you're demeaning them? The Bible also says that love hides a multitude of sin, and that if you see your brother or sister in the wrong, you should do what? You should pray for them. Not judge them. Not tell them, oh, this is why this is happening in this area. This is why this is happening in that area. We all sinned. We've all done wrong. We've all turned our back on God at some point in time. We've all served false gods, believing in and of ourselves that what we were doing is right. Even in the so-called church. What is that wooden cross going to do for you? Idol worship. In and of yourself, idol worship. Some of us have made our pastors idols. People around us, idols. Believing in them more than we believe in God. And then when they fall, we are heartbroken. Our life is all in disarray because we believe more in man than the God who sent the man. as the God in the man. That we could not discern the truth. James said, test the spirit by the spirit to see if it is of God. Do we do that? Or do we just take it at face value? Do we go, as it says in Timothy, to study and show thyself approved? A workman need not be ashamed of his hire. That's because we ain't did no work to find out. Do we keep ourselves busy in the Word of God? Or did we just simply take it as face value and now we're all distraught and hurt because what they said didn't come to pass? Not realizing they had no power in the first place. Where's the evidence? It says signs and wonders shall follow them if they are of me. Signs and wonders is going to follow them. Where's the evidence? And now you all mad. Now you all upset. Why? The Bible said God will never do anything before revealing it to his. Nothing in the earth will be done unless he reveals it to his prophets. But there are many who say there are no more prophets in the earth. Have you looked? Have you been all over the earth? Have you searched every man, woman, boy, and girl who claim to be a prophet? Have you tested them by the Spirit to see if they were of God? Have you done that? Then how can you say they do not exist? When the Word said these gifts in Ephesians have I given to the church, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, but edification of the church, see, until they all come in to the unity of the body of Christ. Is there unity yet? See, but you want to say they don't exist. You want to call a man a liar. And you've not even sought God about who he or she is and what they've been called to do. You have no spiritual discernment. And this is why in the eyes of calamity, in the eyes of a so-called tragedy, right in the midst of it, your response is to fear rather than to trust God. See, because these are spiritual things. It's not a natural thing. You can't reap from your flesh and expect a spiritual development to happen in your life. You can't overcome the spirit by the flesh. Only the spirit overcomes the flesh and brings it into the obedience of what Christ has said. But a lot of people got it backwards because they think, we think is us. We think is you. You think that you are great. You're great. God had nothing to do with it. No. What you are is wrong. What you are and what you have done is deceive your own self. But let's turn from that. Why this Blog Talk Radio show is called It's My People. It's my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, heal their land. See, there's got to be an era of true repentance. There got to be turning away from what we think, how we feel, what we think we know, what we've heard, and getting into the truth of what that which Christ has said, that which God has bestowed upon us. And allow him to heal the brokenness in us. Allow him to heal all of the hidden things that we don't keep, that we don't show anybody, that we keep from everybody because we got to put on the mask that we're happy, that we're doing what we love, or that we even love, and that we even care in some instances. We got to take off all of that deception, all of those lies, and come to God in truth so that he can give us his spirit, that we may walk in truth and spirit. Stop denying the power that is able to heal, deliver, and set us free if only we allow it to do so. Stop being caught up in the things that our eyes see in this world or our ears hear in this world without laying them on the throne of God to see the path that we should walk in his righteousness. That he may lead us, that he may guide us, that he may bring us through. Then we have no reason to be afraid. But are we doing it? Do we even know how to begin to do it? See, God has to become real to you on a personal level. Not what the pastor said, not what mother said. See? But what you have lived, your experience. How are you living? How are you living? We've got to learn to truly put his kingdom first and all of his righteousness so that he can add everything else to us, everything else that we need. And it comes first by acknowledging him and who he is in our lives. Telling him we believe that he died for us. Telling him, you know, God, I want to be saved. I want to be saved for real. I want my life to change. This is who I am. I'm laying me at the foot of your throne. I'm laying me at your feet. Cleanse me. Make me the man or the woman that you intended for me to be, not how I think, not how I feel, and sincerely mean it. Not to get you out of this situation and then turn around the next day and act like you don't know him. You're there for the blessing, but you're not there for longevity. You don't want the long distance relationship. See? It's like having a girlfriend or a boyfriend and the holiday comes around, or Christmas comes around, or Valentine's Day come around, and you break up. And then after the holiday is gone, you're ready to make up again because you don't have anything to give. You don't want to give anything. You don't want to sacrifice anything. But any relationship takes sacrifice. And you're going to have to give up your thoughts. You're going to have to give up your ways. You're going to have to give up how you feel. Yeah, and it don't feel good because we are a generation now. We want what we want, when we want it, and how we want it. We don't want to give up anything. The inner relationships take sacrifice. So we're going to have to lay down those burdens. We're going to have to lay down how we see things and truly pick up the will of God in our life. And yeah, it can be scary, but it's not impossible. It can be done. And as you grow in God, I'm not going to say it gets easier and easier, but those old things, those simple things, those elementary things, when the enemy tries to bring to you, you're going to look at it and you're going to say, oh, wow, God brought me through that before. Hey, I know I can get through this. Praise God, I'm not even focusing on that. God, I'm going to focus on you. Because you now are the witness. You now are the evidence that God can and he will. And he has done it in your life. So who can tell you anything? Who can tell you anything? See? So let's stop walking in fear. And get back walking in the knowledge of who God is. Let's expect the great things that God has promised us to happen in our lives. Stop calling calamity to us because we are afraid. No, we're not afraid. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We walk in all power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that which he has purposed for our lives, so shall it be. And that's what we expect. We walk in victory, not defeat. So regardless of whether it's the coronavirus or cancer or whatever, we got to believe God. And even at the end of the day, when we don't get what we expected, still, glory be to God. We got to learn to praise him in the good times and the bad times, not just when the blessings are there, not just when times are good, because we're going to all have ups and downs in our lives. The Bible says for better or for worse. When we get married, that's what we confess, for better or for worse. But the Bible says that the church is what? His bride, that this is a marriage. And if we are truly married to him, married to Christ, married to God, then we've got to learn to accept and to stand through the better or for worse. That when times get bad, we don't blame God. We don't curse God or charge God foolishly because it didn't work out how we wanted it to work out. But go to him and say, hey, Father, this is how I'm feeling. Things ain't turning out the way that I want them to turn out. What is your will for my life? Where are you leading me? What is the lesson in this? But we don't do that. We immediately get diarrhea at the mouth and start saying all manner of evil against God falsely. But Job said, remember Job. Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Everything that he had, God allowed the enemy to come in and take it from him. Not because Job did anything bad, not because Job did anything wrong, only to test. Are you going to stay with me when things aren't good? Are you going to still serve me? Are you going to still praise me when things aren't good? Or are you just in it for the blessing? Fearful people are only in it for the benefit, and they run helter-skelter when things are not good. Believers learn to stand on the word of God, even in the face of fear, even in the face of calamity, because we know it was a time in our life when we didn't think that we were going to make it, but we made it. God brought us through. And if he did it then, how much more so won't he continue to do it now? Just some things for you to think on. I hope this word has encouraged you today. This has been It's My People Today. Why out there? Why art thou afraid? This is Pastor Ross. I enjoyed you. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening with us today. We're going to let you get out of here with Expect the Great and Byron Cage, A Shield for Me. Blessings on all of you. We love you and we look forward to you listening in next time on Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready to celebrate? Come on, get back up on your feet. Come on. Put your hands on it. Come on.
This is just
the year of refreshing. It's playing now, unfolding. The time of your great blessing. Thank you, Darius Dennis. Come on.
Nothing
but victory. That's the promise of our King.
To
blessing. Expect nothing but victory. That's the promise of our King.
But now when I cry, when I pray, didn't understand, you lifted my head.
Thank you for listening.